Good morning, everybody. It is Think and Grow Rich Thursday, December 15th, 2011. This is the Think and Grow Rich call. Are you ready to think and grow rich? I sure hope you are. I am myself, so excited about these powerful, life-changing ideas that we're learning each day together on this call. And, you know, what a way to start the day off with looking, you know, your vision looking forward, these great, powerful thoughts that can change your heart, change your mind, change your soul, change your future. Just a fantastic way to get the day started. So thank you for joining us. Really excited to be here. My name is Paul Hutchings. And today we're delving into Chapter 3 in the book Think and Grow Rich, which is entitled Faith. And I'm going to jump into this, and just kind of as a little preface, you know, Napoleon in this book does mention some ideas occasionally that are a little bit difficult to understand and maybe even sometimes a little bit strange for people. For instance, there's a whole chapter in this book called The Mystery of Sex Transmutation, which I don't understand, and I usually kind of skip over that chapter. And so I may skip over a few parts occasionally. But if you have any light to shed on anything that maybe I jump over, please, you know, feel free to hop on the line and would love to hear that in the discussion. So anyway, today, Chapter 3, Faith, visualization of and belief in attainment of desire, the second step toward riches. Faith is the head chemist of the mind. When faith is blended with the vibration of thought, the subconscious mind instantly picks up the vibration, translates it into its spiritual equivalent, and transmits it to infinite intelligence, as in the case of prayer. How to develop faith? There comes now a statement which will give a better understanding of the importance the principle of autosuggestion assumes in the transmutation of desire into its physical or monetary equivalent. Namely, faith is a state of mind which may be induced or created by affirmation or repeated instructions to the subconscious mind through the principle of autosuggestion. And I'm going to repeat that first part again. Faith is a state of mind which may be induced or created by affirmation or repeated instructions to the subconscious mind. If you have ever in your life experienced a lack of faith, if you ever have experienced a lack of belief in a goal, in yourself, if you have ever experienced fear, my friend, welcome to the crowd. I've been there. We've all been there. But this one line should give each of us much hope. Faith is a state of mind which may be induced or created. I love that. And it is so true. I found it to be true in my life. As an illustration, consider the purpose for which you are presumably reading this book. The object is naturally to acquire the ability to transmute the intangible thought impulse of desire into its physical counterpart, money. By following the instructions laid down in the chapters on autosuggestion and the subconscious mind, as summarized in the chapter on autosuggestion, you may convince the subconscious mind that you believe you will receive that for which you ask, and it will act upon that belief, which your subconscious mind passes back to you in the form of faith, followed by definite plans for procuring that which you desire. The method by which one develops faith where it does not already exist is extremely difficult to describe. You know, this was a question that Cynthia asked last week. You know, how do you develop that faith? How do you go from a hope to a faith? And Napoleon says it's extremely difficult to describe. Almost as difficult, in fact, as it would be to describe the color of red to a blind man who has never seen color and has nothing with which to compare what you describe to him. Faith is a state of mind which you may develop at will after you have mastered the 13 principles, because it is a state of mind which develops voluntarily through application and use of these principles. Repetition of affirmation of orders to your subconscious mind is the only known method of voluntary development of the emotion of faith. Perhaps the meaning may be made clearer through the following explanation as to the way men sometimes become criminals. Stated in the words of a famous criminologist, when a man first comes into contact with crime, they abhor it. If they remain in contact with crime for a time, they become accustomed to it and endure it. If they remain in contact with it long enough, they finally embrace it and become influenced by it. This is the equivalent of saying that any impulse of thought which is repeatedly passed on to the subconscious mind is finally accepted and acted upon by the subconscious mind, which proceeds to translate that impulse into its physical equivalent by the most practical procedure available. In connection with this, consider again the statement, all thoughts which have been emotionalized, given feeling, and mixed with faith begin immediately to translate themselves into their physical equivalent or counterpart. Not only thought impulses which have been mixed with faith, but those which have been mixed with any of the positive emotions or any of the negative emotions may reach and influence the subconscious mind. From this statement, you will understand that the subconscious mind will translate into its physical equivalent a thought impulse of a negative or destructive nature just as readily as it will act upon thought impulses of a positive or constructive nature. This accounts for the strange phenomenon which so many millions of people experience, referred to as misfortune or bad luck. There are millions of people who believe themselves doomed to poverty and failure because of some strange force over which they believe they have no control. They are the creators of their own misfortune because of this negative belief, which is picked up by the subconscious mind and translated into its physical equivalent. This is an appropriate place at which to suggest again that you may benefit by passing on to your subconscious mind any desire which you wish translated into its physical or monetary equivalent in a state of expectancy or belief that the transmutation will actually take place. Your belief or faith is the element which determines the action of your subconscious mind. There is nothing to hinder you from deceiving your subconscious mind when giving it instructions through auto-suggestion, as I deceived my son's subconscious mind. To make this deceit more realistic, conduct yourself just as you would if you were already in possession of the material thing which you are demanding when you call upon your subconscious mind. The subconscious mind will transmute into its physical equivalent by the most direct and practical media available any order which is given to it in a state of belief or faith that the order will be carried out. Surely enough has been stated to give a starting point from which one may, through experiment and practice, acquire the ability to mix faith with any order given to the subconscious mind. Perfection will come through practice. It cannot come by merely reading instructions. If it be true that one may become a criminal by association with crime, and this is a known fact, it is equally true that one may develop faith by voluntarily suggesting to the subconscious mind that one has faith. The mind comes finally to take on the nature of the influences which dominate it. Understand this truth, and you will know why it is essential for you to encourage the positive emotions as dominating forces of your mind and discourage and eliminate negative emotions. A mind dominated by positive emotions becomes a favorable abode for the state of mind known as faith. A mind so dominated may at will give the subconscious mind instructions which it will accept and act upon immediately. And I think that's quite enough for today, enough for us to think about, enough for us to chew on, enough for us to ponder. You know, I'm on this journey just like everybody on this call. And over the last year and a half, as I mentioned, you know, almost every day, I have been practicing. As Napoleon says, you can't get an understanding of this stuff by just reading these lines. And I'm happy to report that every day for almost 2 years now, I have been repeating the major definite purpose in the self-confidence formula in my daily life, usually morning and evening. And all I can say is I have developed faith, and I have started to gain an understanding. Again, I'm on this journey like all of us. I have so much to learn, but I am happy to report that I am experiencing faith in my life, and I'm seeing the fruits of what Napoleon is telling us to do here. So I just want to add my personal witness, my personal testimony, that this stuff does work. It is powerful because I'm seeing the fruits in my life from it. Would love to. Bill, are you on the line with me there, buddy?
Yes, I'm here, Paul.
Are you feeling well enough to speak?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I can add a few things. You know, I read this and I have to look at it a couple of times. I actually want to read it again. I didn't get a chance to read it yesterday, but to me, what comes right off the mark is programming. It speaks right into programming, and it speaks right into what we were talking about yesterday at the end of the call. That, you know, the more we introduce ourselves into the positive realm of things and repeat over and over again our affirmations, the more, just we've already touched on this, the more times you are constantly looking at the positive and focusing on your goals and that nature, Paul, that's where this takes you. I mean, if you do something repetitively over and over again like you've been doing, and basically what you've taught me. I mean, I always used to go on the belief that my mission statement was enough, and looking in the mirror in the morning, like we all do every single day when we get up, and talking my own personal affirmations to myself. But now you've gotten me to the point of writing them down and repeating them on a daily basis. I don't know if I do it even as much as you do it to this day, and I probably need to do it more. So that's more along the lines of what I read in this article. It's changing our programming.
Yeah, Paul? Yeah, I agree with you 100%. It is changing our programming. And, you know, I just want to throw one other thought out for everyone on the call. I was listening to an audio yesterday. I'm sure many of you have heard of Jim Rohn. If you haven't, gosh, he's a guy you need to listen to. He's no longer with us. He passed away a couple of years ago. But he is a man that just incredible philosophy and has impacted me in a major way. And his mentor was a guy by the name of Earl Schoaf. And Jim Rohn, if you listen to him, he often talks about how Earl Schoaf changed his philosophy and got him on the road to, you know, becoming a millionaire and, you know, impacting lives all over the world. Well, anyway, I happened to look on my iPod yesterday while I was in the gym, and lo and behold, I had a recording by Earl Schoaf from the 1960s, and this was the only known recording of Earl Schoaf ever to have been recorded. And I was like, oh my gosh, how did this get on my iPod? I don't even remember getting it on there, but I knew who Earl Schoaf was, and I was excited to listen to it. And one of the things the main thing that Earl talked about on that audio was the fact that you plant seeds and have expectancy that they're going to come into your life. And one of the things he said that you should do is get out a piece of paper and write down exactly what you want. And then at the bottom of that paper, write the word thank you. And just know that it's coming and know that it's on its way. And and I was comparing that thought to, again, I watched The Secret here a couple of days ago. And I watched The Secret for the first time a couple of years ago. And I didn't really like it that much because to me it felt like they were leaving out a lot of, you got to take action. You know, it seemed like in The Secret to me, they talked a lot about, just have the vision and things will be attracted into your life. Just hold the thought in your mind and things will be attracted. And when the first time I watched that, I thought, you know, this sounds a little bit too mystical to me. You know, there's more to it. There's work, there's action, there's planning, there's persistence. And they're not talking about any of that stuff. They're just talking about holding the thought in your mind and having this faith. And I don't know the answer to this question, but I just throw it out for everyone to think about. I've been pondering, you know, is there something to this faith and this, you know, holding the thought in your mind and developing this faith and expecting that it's going to come? Is there something that we don't see as far as, you know, things coming into our lives from the universe, from God, from, you know, whatever you want to call it? Is there something to that? Just the fact that, you know, you can hold a thought in your mind and you can attract things to you, and through this faith you can attract things to you. Bill, do you kind of understand the question I'm asking?
Yeah, I do.
I'm babbling. I'm wondering if I'm babbling on or if it makes sense. Anyway, kind of a divergent thought, but I do know this. I've mixed faith with planning, action, and all these other things, and things have happened in my life which seem to be, on the surface, miracles to me. Like, things have happened that don't seem to be directly related to some of the action I've taken. Like, yes, I've taken action. Yes, I've had persistence. But there are things that are kind of unexplainable to me that have happened that I can only attribute to some extra unknown force out there that, you know, is just at work. Does that make sense, Bill?
Yes, it does, Paul. It does. You know, I'll tell you what, that, you know, that's that different tier of living. That's that, you know, being in a place where everything seems to be working really well. You're happy with your existence. You're happy with your life, and everything works. You know, as you go through these things, that gentleman yesterday brought up no man's land. And I can really relate to that because I've lived in so many no man's lands for so long. It's not even funny. I mean, especially after going what I went through for 15 years, I couldn't find which way was up or down because I'd get one thing fixed, you know, with my jaw, and then my back had to be fixed. And so it was a constant dealing with that stuff. And I never really could see that light at the end of the tunnel, whereas for you, Paul, now where you've come to, or even going back to the into the 90s when I experienced what it was like to be completely ecstatic with what I was doing for a living, happy every single day, everything was perfect. The challenges that I went through were so minuscule, I could just overcome them in a heartbeat. It wasn't just financial, it was just attitude. It was my mindset. It was where I was, and it is magical. I mean, because, you know, life is not easy, folks. We know this. We all know this. Life is not easy at all, and you know, there's so much stuff out there that happens to us and that we have to go through. But if you just like this chapter suggests, if you change your programming and concentrate on the positive and concentrate on putting stuff into your head that is positive, like we do every day on this call, but you have to take it to the nth degree. You have to take it much further than this call. This call is just, you know, a half an hour of two guys talking and telling of their experiences. You have to go to the next degree. You've got to have written affirmations. You have to have a written mission statement. You've got to appreciate that you're going to treat everybody equally, that you're not going to prejudge anybody. You can't prejudge anyone. You've got to treat everybody as an energy source and then approach people as an energy source. And then, you know, once you feel these things, once you have these things going for you, and once you're in that realm of understanding all these things, you know, they're going to automatically start to, you know, come out of you. They're going to exude from you. They'll permeate from your body. Things will start happening to you that you least expect. I mean, there was a guy that brought up on the call just the other day where a check came out of nowhere. It wasn't exactly what he expected, or it didn't pay all the bills, but it was an unexpected check. That happened to me this week. I had two checks arrive that I did not expect. They were small checks, but hey, every little bit counts. Every little bit helps. It was enough to get a new tank of gas or a full tank of fuel. So, I mean, that was an unexpected surprise. It was from my power company because I paid my bill for a whole year straight without bouncing a check, so they gave back the deposit that I got when I first moved back here to Florida a year and a half ago, or a year and 2 or 3 months ago. So, I mean, yes, Paul, I completely understand what you're saying. I want to get back to where I was at in the 90s. Not necessarily financially. Yes, that would be nice. But I want to get back to that feeling of being able to overcome every little problem that comes to me. You know, a bad cold. I mean, sure, I had a bad cold during that period. And sure, that kept me down for a couple days. We all have to deal with that. But I'm talking about overall feeling good about yourself, feeling good about life, being able to overcome problems with ease. And you brought up a big one yesterday, Paul, stewing over decision-making. Wow, that's huge. You know, I mean, we ought to really study that because all of us do that. All of us do that. I mean, in our own personal lives, you know, something happens and then we stew over it, or we will sit and we'll think about it and it'll be bothering us. It'll change our minds. It'll change our attitudes. And we're kind of down because, you know, we have all this on top of our shoulders. You need to push all that aside because that's there. That's going to be there. So unless you do, like Paul said yesterday, make a decision quickly, take care of it, boom, it's out of the way, boom, it's out of the way, boom, it's out of the way, you're going to sit there and be bothered by it. So, yeah, I mean, there's so many things that we've gone over here, and there's a lot of power here. So, Paul, I give it back to you. But, my friend, you know, I completely understand what that magical realm is, and getting back to it, it's just a question of how badly you want this. You know, you have to, I don't know how else I can say it. You have to make it all your all. It has to be all about you. It has to be everything. You know, it's just like when I lost my will to want to be able to be a speaker and my jaw was busted and I said to the doctors, no. And I made it up in my mind and I did everything. I mean, I could write a whole book on what I had to do to get my speaking voice back, not my voice, but my jaw, to be able to move and pronunciate words. I had to learn how to speak again, people. I mean, that's hard to do after you've done it once. And, you know, you're not a baby anymore, and it's even more difficult when you're an adult to learn how to pronunciate words with a new jaw, a new working limb. So, Paul, I'll hand it over to you, my friend. But, yes, I completely understand what you're talking about.
Awesome. Well, thank you for those comments, Bill. Really always appreciate hearing your insight. Let's go ahead and open up the lines. I'd love to hear some discussion on all here. Okay, press *6 to unmute your line, and you will be live on the call.
Can you hear me, Paul?
Yeah. Who's that?
Okay. All right, I want to say something here, man. I'm really excited about this talk here this morning. And, you know, what you're talking about, and you mentioned something the other day about incantations.
Uh-huh.
And when you're reciting, your definite purpose and, you know, and the like. But, you know, we talk about vibrations. We getting vibes, you know. You ever been somewhere and, you know, you say, hey, listen, now I'm getting a negative vibe, and somebody don't even really have to really open their mouth. But you feel an energy source, and you're
mm-hmm.
not either getting a good or a bad vibe. But I believe because of the connection that we have, that just by your thoughts alone, if your thoughts are positive or negative, you're going to get back either. And so I believe that even the thoughts that you hold in your mind forces you to based on your physiology, emit certain frequencies that it's going to affect what's around you. You can change your world around you just by the way you're thinking. And so it shapes you physically. So I completely believe that you don't necessarily have to physically be doing something consciously or not, but it will happen. I believe that it happens for you. There's no way you can possibly be do that much stuff physically all the time to create a certain amount of abundance. It's just not possible. I think your mind, just your thought process alone. You know, of course, actions will more actions and more continuous, persistent action will speed it up. But your thoughts alone are very powerful. They send out a lot of vibes. And I think vibration is really an energy source that we're all doing. So you walk in, you can watch yourself today. Walk in and look around you, and you're going to feel energy source around you. And it's going to affect your outcome. It's going to affect your surroundings, and it will affect everything. So that's what I had to say. Thank you for letting me speak.
Great thoughts, Rick. Thank you so much for sharing those ideas. And I agree with. I mean, it makes sense that your thoughts emit a frequency. I do believe that. I do believe that we're made up of energy, and there's definitely something to that. And the other thought I had as you were talking is it possible to hold a thought in your mind for an extended period of time and not be moved to take action? And I think the answer is no. If you're holding a thought, you know, if you're thinking about a car that you want or amount of money that's really important to you to change your life or provide a better future for your kids, and you're thinking about that all the time, you're naturally going to take action, I think. So maybe it's irrelevant, you know.
Paul, can you hear me?
That's going to pull you towards that. Absolutely. I mean, your thoughts, you're going to act based on how you feel. So, there's a thing called BAFA, your belief, you know, and your attitudes and your feelings create an action, right? So, of course, but it starts with the belief that you have. So if you don't believe something's going to happen, chances are it's not going to happen. So when your belief starts, okay, so you're thinking about something and then you create an attitude from that. So based on that, you're going to have a certain amount of feelings. So if your feelings are positive, you're going to take positive action. So that's a starting point. Your thoughts are the starting point of it, yes?
Makes sense.
So.
Yep.
Yes. Thank you.
Awesome. Hey. I heard a lady's voice right before Melvin. Who's that?
Paul, Denise from San Diego.
Hey, Denise. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Hey, Bill. How are you? Listen, I was reading this some material by Vic Johnson, which goes along with the Think and Grow Rich series.
Uh-huh.
And he talks about thoughts. And one of the things that he says that is being able to think about what we think about. And, when our words and our thoughts control what we do in our actions. But one of the exercises that he had me do was for a whole day, I just took a piece of paper and I just started writing down my thoughts, because I've always thought of myself as a pretty positive person.
Mm-hmm.
But when I really took this exercise to a 24-hour period and started writing down my thoughts, what I was thinking about, I was totally amazed how negative I was inside my thoughts. Inside my thoughts. Uh-huh. And
wow.
he calls that metacognition is the word he uses. It's metacognition is the word. And so it was probably one of the best exercises that I did for myself to realize, what am I think about what I'm thinking about? Because if I have thoughts and I'm out there and just like the gentleman was saying earlier, you know, you can go out and do something, but if our thoughts are in a negative way and we're not thinking about those negative thoughts, you know, they take that different direction in our actions. So,
you know, I want to chime in here, if I may. I just I really appreciate that, Denise. Yeah, but I think to myself, and I hear exactly what Rick is saying as well. And I think, you know, I could sit around all day, and if I really wanted to study my thoughts on a day where I was feeling sick or in pain, my thoughts probably would tend to be more towards the negative. But I also agree with the fact that if you're constantly thinking your mission statement and putting into your head affirmations, that your thoughts are going to change. I'm asking a question here. What do you think of that, Denise?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you just, it's what it is, it's taking every thought captive. And that doesn't go in that direction, and being able to think about those thoughts and say, wait a minute, I got to take that. That's not where I'm going down this road. So it's taking thoughts captive and being able to hit the delete button and move in the other direction to where it does bring you because thoughts are powerful. Our minds are extremely powerful, so we have to move them in the direction we really want them to go in. But we have old, you know, CDs in our head that programs, and that's just a matter of reprogramming our minds and our thought process.
Right, and that's kind of what I was trying to say, is that when we need to plow all our stuff
mm-hmm.
away, I should say that it should be our mental stuff, because the mind is extremely powerful. I mean, for so many years after I had hit my peak in my 30s and this assault happened and all this pain I was in, boy, I suffered for 15 years, just
mm-hmm.
incredible suffering, and all I could think about was my pain, and I could never get ahead. I could never see myself ahead. And so I'm sorry I have to go back and relate to that stuff, guys, but I guess I really haven't ever really worked on those 15 years except with what I dealt with on a physical basis every single day. And now that we're doing this call, it's making me think about those 15 years because I haven't really worked through them in the mental capacity like we're doing here. So I'm going back to that time. And I apologize to you guys if you're not into that. But for me, getting through the physical pain and getting through that thought process is by planting and pushing all those negative thoughts. You're right, captivating them. That's a great word, captivating those thoughts and saying, I'm not going to think that way. I'm just not going to think that way. I'm not even going to allow that into my life. And then focus on positive and head more down that positive road. Is that more or less what you're saying, Denise?
Yeah, it's just, you know, being able to realize it's a negative thought and grabbing it and taking that thought captive and getting rid of it. But part of it has to do is, a lot of it has to do is, for me personally, here's where I go. You know, I've done things, made mistakes, but it's okay. I have to forgive myself for the mistakes I've made and move on. And so realizing that, is probably the biggest thing. So this exercise that I did just took it to a different level of making me look at it going, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that small little thing I would say, whether it be real minute, was still a negative thought.
Absolutely.
And if you're not aware of it, there's no way you can change it because it's happening automatically and you don't know it's
Absolutely.
Happening really. You think you're being positive all the time, but if you don't actually pay attention and write down, like you said, for a 24-hour period, just write down your thinking. What are you thinking about? I think that's a great idea. I'm going to do it. Challenge everyone on the call. Let's do it for a day. Write down what we're thinking about. Appreciate that, Denise.
I'm definitely going to do it.
Denise was just saying.
Yeah, Melvin, there you are. I know you're trying to hop in there.
What you were just saying is beautiful, and it's right on the button in terms of give some real thought to what you're thinking, because most of us think we're thinking correctly, and in essence, we really aren't. There's a saying, it's called, you know, it simply goes that first we make our habits, and then our habits make us. And a lot of times, we don't know that we're making those habits. Knowingly or unknowingly, all of this is constantly taking place. And so I know some of us had mentioned some things about thinking positive and making affirmations. Well, a lot of us tend to do that, and it does not work. Well, the reason it does not work is we've gone so much in the other direction that it's going to take time before. It's kind of like having poison, and you've got to constantly pour in the water until finally it becomes weaker and weaker, and then it starts reversing itself and going the other direction. And it takes time for that to take place because knowingly or unknowingly, we are utilizing the subconscious mind all the time. You know,
Absolutely.
We're actively doing it, we're doing it. When we're not actively doing it, it's still taking place. And it's understanding that helps us understand the responsibility and the work we have to do in order to change it.
I love what you said, Melvin.
I
just wanted to – just one quick comment on what Melvin said. You know, I was talking to a guy yesterday, and he's like, well, Paul, how long is it going to take me to make money? If you tell me what to do, how long will it take? And I said, I can tell you how long it would take for me, but I said, if anyone tells you that, you know, if anyone someone gives you a guaranteed timeline, they're lying to you. And the reason why is because just what Melvin said, everybody is different and we are all on our own, growth, path of growth. And I just love, Melvin, you pointed that out so beautifully, and I just wanted to say to everybody, including myself, have a little patience with ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
Don't be in such a hurry to demand that instantly we change and instantly we're this perfect person. It's not going to happen that way because what Melvin stated, we've had a whole lifetime up to this point developing our minds and our subconscious is playing and replaying tapes that have been put there long, long, long ago. This stuff is going to take a little bit of time, and let's just be patient with ourselves and enjoy the journey.
It's, you know, it's not just true what you said about being patient and with yourself. That's a must, but also understand that writing these things down and all is something you're going to practice, but that practice even becomes perfect. You will get to the point to where you no longer need to write it down. That becomes you. That's an automatic. That's how you think. That's how you are. You don't have to give second thought to it any longer. And that's what you arrive at as you pay the price for this. It becomes yours. You now own it.
Yes, yes, yes. One quick example to what Melvin said, one of my statements is, I do not worry about what other people think, do, or say. And I used to worry about that all the time. I'd be so afraid to make a video or write an email or make a phone call because I worried about what is this person going to think of me? What if I say the wrong thing? So on and so forth. And I'd worry. And that would stop me. Honestly, everyone on this call, I can tell you that since I've been, as Melvin has stated, paying the price and repeating that thought to myself, I don't worry about what people think, do, or say, and it is so liberating because now I'm free to be myself and create my own future and take action and move forward, and it's just an amazing thing, but it's just an example of what Melvin said. Eventually, these things will become a part of you, and you know, you won't have to write that particular one down because it'll be a part of you, and then you can write the next one down and continue to, you know, evolve yourself, so...
That's a beautiful place to get to, and you gotten there because you've started taking responsibility. That comes from having a greater love of oneself, a greater respect for oneself, taking responsibility for oneself. When that start happens, it all starts coming from within, therefore you no longer need it from without.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, fantastic call today, everybody.
Mother.
Really appreciate all of the comments and the discussion. I've learned a lot. Thank you, everyone, for being on the call. Let's get out there and make it a great day. Let's practice Denise's challenge and write our thinking down. I'm gonna do that. I'm excited about that. Any last minute, real important comments, questions that anyone wants to get out here before we end the call for the day?
Just really want to say that I appreciate what Melvin is saying, and I learned a lot today. I have to admit, this has really been a huge challenge for me, and to actually be able to put my finger on some of this stuff, I really appreciate what you say, Melvin. I really appreciate you, man, and Denise as well. So yeah, I'm going to do that as well. Probably not today, but I'll pick a day and just do it. Challenge myself to do it.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
That's okay. This is Krista Wilson in South Carolina. I just wanted to share a positive thing that happened to me last night that had to do with the power of positive thinking or faith. Once a month, I'm new to this community, but I got involved with a Bunko group last month. And so this month, we met last night. And last month, I was talking to a girl about, the secret and the law of attraction and all that. And we were like talking about how we, attracted our spouse into our lives, and that, when she first met her husband in the first 20 minutes, he said to her, we're going to get married, right? And she's like, yeah. And I felt the same way with my husband. So anyway, we were, and I feel like I attracted my husband into my life. But last night when I was sitting next to her on the couch, with Funko. I don't know if you guys know what it is. It's a dice game. But I said to her, you know, I was thinking about you because of our conversation we had last month about The Secret, and I'm reading Think and Grow Rich. And she goes, oh, I've read that book. It's really great. And so then we switched tables for the next round, and I was thinking to myself, I had two Bunkos. I don't know if you guys know it, but if whoever has the most Bunkos in the night wins, you know, part of the prize at the end. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, we were on sixes. I said, I know I'm going to get sixes. I know I'm going to get that third Bunko, because there was another girl that had I was tied with. And two rolls later, I rolled those triple sixes, and I won the prize. And it was like, and afterwards, I went into her, and I said, I just got a Bunko. I swear to God, I just thought it, and it happened, you know, and it was so cool. So I wanted to share that. That was the suggestion.
Thanks, Krista. Really appreciate that. That's a great experience, very powerful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get out there, everyone. Have a great day. Let's have faith in our goal and ourselves. Let's take action. Let's be persistent. And most of all, let us commit to never, ever give up on our dreams, my friends. They're too important to ever even think about quitting. Okay. So thanks, everyone, again. Have a great day, and we'll see you on the call tomorrow. Take care.
Thank you.
God bless.